Welcome to this podcast produced by the International News Safety Institute.
If it wasn't so serious a subject, I'd be tempted to start this podcast with a classic comment from the late great baseball star Yogi Berra, deja vu all over again. At INSEE, we've been recording journalist casualties around the world now for almost 20 years in our annual Killing the Messenger report, now out for 2015. And the fundamentals have barely changed, despite the best efforts of many well-meaning people. 83 journalists died violently in 1996, prompting our first Killing the Messenger global survey. 20 years later, in 2015, the death toll was 111. Our initial review covered 10 years from 96 to 2006. It recorded a total of 1,000 dead, just under 2 a week. In 2015, it was even worse, just over 2 a week. Over the years between, there have been peaks and troughs, but the tale of the tape remains basically the same. Scores of journalists killed every year simply for doing their jobs, dying to tell the story. Countries come and go from the list of the world's deadliest according to the ebb and flow of crisis and crime. But it is striking that 14 of the states listed last year were on the same list for the years 1996 to 2006. A bow of thanks to Russia, Israel's occupied territories, Iran, South Africa, and a few others for being clean in 2015. For God's sake, stay that way. Still holding up their guilty hands, however, are the Philippines, Brazil, Iraq, Mexico, Somalia, and many others too depressingly familiar to mention here. As usual, most journalists were murdered in their own countries in peacetime, far outnumbering international war correspondents who rush into foreign conflicts. And the biggest scandal of all, the killers continue to go unpunished. Last year, 9 out of 10 perpetrators escaped any kind of justice. That's even worse than in 1996-2006, when only 8 out of 10 walked free. Impunity, which should, but rarely does, embarrass governments around the world, has remained virtually unchanged in 2 decades. Indeed, it's got a bit worse. So murder remains a relatively risk-free method of censorship. It gets rid of a troublesome reporter and often terrifies colleagues into silence. Over the past 12 years of INSEE campaigning, a global momentum has built up to try to stem the bloodshed. More governments and international institutions have come to realise that they have a responsibility for the safety of all their citizens and that freedom cannot exist without a free media. United Nations resolutions have been passed to protect journalists from harm. Global task forces have been created by UNESCO to address the issue. Yet the killing goes on. Greater brains than mine should and must address this conundrum. But surely it doesn't help when a global celebrity such as Sean Penn sucks up to a major Mexican drug lord in a country where drugs cartels have slaughtered dozens of journalists. I'm of the firm belief that nothing much will change until impunity is effectively addressed and criminals treated with contempt rather than being celebrated. The murderers and their paymasters must be caught and prosecuted and punished with the full force of the law. Until this becomes the norm around the world, until the killers of journalists meet the same fate as any murderers in their societies, we will continue to mourn scores of our colleagues each and every year. Brave men and women all expect no more than respect, and indeed their lives, in return.
This podcast was produced by the International News Safety Institute. For more information on INSEE, please go to www.newssafety.org.